the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Oh, James and John, sons of Zebedee. In theological circles, they're called the sons of thunder. And this story is sort of infamous. When it's retold in another of the Gospels, it's told slightly differently. And James and John don't come off quite as presumptuous, because in that other retelling, who is it that comes and asks Jesus that they can sit at his right and left? Do you know? Remember? His mother. Very good Jewish mom comes and asks for her son if they can have a really nice seat at the Lord's table. It's interesting, you know, that this story would be included. It's almost like the author of Mark was there, and he's still kind of aggravated, because why else would you put such a story in the Bible that would be really unflattering to these two guys? And I think, I'm going to guess, that the reason that we have this story in two different places in the Gospels, because it's important for us to ask ourselves the question that these two guys were guilty of, because we are all guilty of it. These two guys ask, what's in it for me? They ask, what's in it for me? They heard the Gospel, they knew Jesus, they followed Jesus. That's great. What's in it for me? Yeah, eternal life. What else is in it for me? What can I get out of this? We all have these transactional relationships where we all do something and expect something in return. What we fail to realize is that's sort of turned around. God has done something for us. We are simply trying to do something to return that love to God. What's in it for me? I think we can all ask ourselves that question. I mean, we should all be slightly ashamed that we ask it, but we do ask it. What's in it for me? Why bother coming to church? What's in it for me? Why bother signing up for coffee hour? What's in it for me? Why bother going out to the Union Mission? What's in it for me? Why bother working the food pantry? What's in it for me? Well, I got the news. Ain't nothing in it for you. Ain't nothing. But you know what there is? Not about you. There's nothing in it for you. The question we as Christians should be asking is, what's in it for you? Not what's in it for me. What's in it for you? What's in it for my brothers and sisters? What's in it for those who are lacking something in this world? What's in it for those who are hurting and unloved? What's in it for those people that need to have a voice in this broken and hurting world? We need to ask those questions, because then we can truly show life and love. Now, James and John were asked a question by Jesus. Can you drink this cup? Can you be baptized with this baptism that I am going to drink from and be baptized with? And they answered. I don't think they knew what they were saying. Yes, sure, we can do that. They didn't realize that it was going to lead to death, to exile, to misery, for the sake of the gospel. It is interesting. Now, I do think they learned something in the long run, because they did submit to that. They did drink that cup. They were baptized in that baptism, and they served their Lord. But it wasn't until they saw love laid down for them that I think it truly clicked. I don't think it was until they had really, truly understood that the question that they were asking Jesus that day was totally inappropriate, but one so human. My brothers and sisters, when we come to church, don't think of it as something for you. Think of it as something for the world. Because you're coming here to be edified, not so that you can go home and sit smugly, but so that you can go out and serve the world in the name of our risen Savior. What's in it for the world? What's in it for the world when you leave this place? what do we do to serve this one called Jesus? Amen.